Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Jones. Tune in every week as we redefine marketing playbooks to break free from what we should do so that we can scroll less, connect more, and grow together.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is not Andrea Jones. I am Meg Casewolt. I am here today to interview your usual host, Andrea. So, Andrea, thank you for being here on your own podcast.
I know. I love this like Uno reverse moment. It feels great. Thank you for interviewing me.
I am thrilled to be here. You kind of put out a call and said we're doing the big episode 300. I feel like the team should like put in some cheering noises here and like boo, 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 you know. We'll make this into like a those graphic audio novels now.
Yes.
You put out a call and said, is there somebody who is the right fit for having this conversation? And I put up my hand and it just kind of came together from there. So thank you for the opportunity to be your interviewer for episode 300. It's an honor.
Aw, I'm excited. Yeah, this is going to be great.
So we are here today because we're going to be talking about kind of a retrospective of what has happened with this podcast and what are the things that you've learned from it? And after 10 years of business, how has the business changed and kind of being able to look backwards, but also thinking forwards about what does that mean moving forwards, especially with some of those big changes that are going to be rolling out soon. So do you want to give us kind of a sneak preview of what is happening with the podcast now that we're at episode 300?
Yes. So as you may have noticed, our name has changed. The podcast is no longer called the Savvy Social Podcast. It's now called the Mindful Marketing Podcast. And it's scary to make this big change because we've had this, like I've had this name since the beginning. And even other products I have Savvy Social in the name. So it feels like a huge shift that's going to have ripple effects in the rest of the business. But that's where we are. Big change starting with this very podcast.
And I feel like although the name of the podcast has changed, the tone will continue to hold in a lot of ways. You know, I think that your approach to social media has always been very mindful, has always been very much make it work for you, but don't let it take over your life. You can post, but you don't have to post all the time. You can hold boundaries. You can be clear about what it is that you do. I think you've called it the situationship with social, right? So the messaging is different. The title is different, but much of the tone of everything is still consistent. So how did you make the decision? What was the thought process around the rebranding and the renaming versus just continuing as is?
Yeah. And, you know, I studied Gary Vee back in the day. When I started my business in 2014, he was one of the people, you know, on Twitter back then where I was like, oh, this guy is really making a difference in marketing. Because it was very different the way that he was showing up. And I tried to replicate that model. I read a lot of his books. I would consume a lot of his content. And it didn't, like some of it worked for me, a lot of it didn't. And much of what, like he just must live on social media. And I do not have the time, patience, or energy to do that.
And that was before you were married and had children and all the things, you know, that was before life kind of exploded for you and other people required your time and your body and all of those things.
Oh my gosh. Don't even tell me about life before kids. My mom-in-law asked me recently, do you remember what it's like? Because I don't. I was like, oh, I remember. I remember what it's like. I don't know what I was doing with my time.
I remember like long brunches. I remember sleeping in. I remember all sorts of things.
Yeah, I remember. But it's so, you're right. It's so different approaching things in a different way. And I basically have two businesses when I think about it, because I have the agency and then I have programming, not even to mention the amount of content I produce.
I was going to say, and the marketing is basically its own side hustle.
It's like three businesses, really. And so I kind of been customizing my own strategy over the years. And something like really resonated with me over the past couple of years because people would come to me and they'd feel apologetic, mm-hmm. they'd be like, oh, I just shut down my Instagram, or I decided to leave LinkedIn, or I'm not active on Facebook. And it was almost like they were apologizing to me. And I actually want to cheer that on. Like, if you made the decision in your business to go, I tried this thing, it's not working for me, so I'm moving on. Hooray. I'm excited. Tell me what you're doing next, you know, instead of like feeling like you're backpedaling and backtracking. And so my name and my what I'm known for is social media. And yet my approach to social media is different than I think what people's expectations is. So that's a lot of where this name change comes from. But the content is probably going to be very similar, and will shift more towards that, like, let's find what works for you and celebrate, you know, doing things in a way that works for you as well.
Yeah. And the idea of mindfulness, of evaluating and sitting with the feelings of what this should, you know, listening to your gut, listening to your brain, not just moving forward because somebody told you to, but like almost like a detachment from the outcomes because you're also evaluating other pieces of the puzzle. Like, that's such an important thing to the way that you've always approached it, that hasn't come through in the name,
yeah,
but has always been a piece of who I know you to be, not just the yeah. business, not just the brand, but like Andrea.
Yeah. I mean, it's so infused in my content. Mm-hmm. Like, in 2017, I had one of those like burnout moments where I was, I'm like lightly calling it an anxiety attack. I wasn't hospitalized or diagnosed or anything, but I was almost paralyzed to open my inbox, to open Instagram, to open Facebook notifications. It was debilitating. And so I had to make choices at that point based on me and like what I could handle. And as someone who's an introvert, even though I love socializing with people, most of the time I don't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me with my books and like my crocheting. And so to have like so many demands on my attention was not for me. And I made a shift then. I immediately turned off all my notifications, and I've lived notification free since then. And even that to me is like an example of this mindful approach of going, hey, I tried this, it doesn't work for me. So if you message me on Instagram, I'll message you back tomorrow. Like, it doesn't have to happen the second whatever notification comes in. I'll see it when I see it. Mm-hmm. And so that shift is an example of like mindfully going, this isn't working for me. How can I make this work for me and still show up in a place that I like, still show up in a way that I enjoy this? Those are the questions that I want to explore.
And I think to a greater extent, to sort of zoom out also, I think once you make this shift of, I am not available 24/7, I do not need to be posting 24/7, my business is not 24/7, it can also sort of bleed into other areas. So I'm assuming that you would also say, like, if you email me, I'm not going to reply instantly. If you're a client and you think that there's some sort of emergency happening, here's my calendar link and we can talk next week, right? Like, there's a level of confidence that comes from boundaries and training people on the behavior that we want them to treat us with and the respect that we want us to receive in terms of our time and our energy.
Yeah, it's the mutual respect mm-hmm. piece. And I think something as simple as simple, I'm putting that in quotes because it was a long process, but something as simple as changing the name.
Simple, not easy.
Something as simple and not easy as changing the name. My goal is to reflect that immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want a Gary V style strategy, you know, post 10 times a day to every platform, respond to every comment instantly, I'm not for you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. There are other social media experts out there. Great. Follow them. The way that I approach social media is so different, in my opinion. And I want to be clear about that, mm-hmm. like up front. And it affects every area of my business. If you email our customer support, Jemmy, my customer service person, who's fabulous, she's going to get to you within 24 hours. It's not immediate. Mm-hmm. If you're a client, we don't work weekends. So if something happens over the weekend, we see it on Monday. You know, so it does, it has that effect of the rest of the business as well.
Yeah. And I also like that it's not the mindful social media podcast. It's expanding into social media as part of a comprehensive strategy, because I know from like having a front row seat to your business for the past decade that like, although you are on social media, although you are an expert on social media, although you provide social media services and trainings, your entire business does not exist on social media. You're getting leads from your podcast and your content marketing. Most of your conversions come through email marketing. You're constantly doing collaborations. Like, your actual business is not dependent on social media, even though, like, in the, oh God, I don't want to use the word meta here, but it's right. You know, that it's not that you are dependent on social media. It's just what you do. It's not all that you are.
Yeah. And it's something that I teach too, is it's I love social media. True. It doesn't exist in a silo though. Mm-hmm. So when someone, especially a new business owner, has an incorrect impression about, you know, I'm just going to post on Instagram and build my business, it makes me cringe because there are so many components that go into this. Instagram's just a part of it. It's like saying, I'm going to build a house with just a hammer. It's like, okay, well, you also need, I don't know, I was going to say a chainsaw, but that's not the tool.
Okay, we'll go with this. I'm going to build a house with just wood, and all of my pipes will be made of wood. And right. All, like, right. I'm not going to put paint on anything but wood, no brick, no, right, you know?
Right. Yes. There's so many different.
It's gonna be a very uncomfortable bathtub. There's a lot of splinters involved.
Yeah. I mean, although that could be a trend, all wood. Anyways, but I think there's this misconception about social media being a magic bullet. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to kind of break down is that social media is just one piece of a larger marketing ecosystem that works. And the funny thing about this is my two largest marketing arms of my business are not social media. Mm-hmm. It's my podcast, where I consistently get 10 to 15,000 downloads a month. That's more than any social media platform, by the way. And it's my email list, which has over 18,000 emails. Again, more than any social media platform. So for me, social media is a tool to grow my podcast and my email list, which is where a lot of my like more intimate marketing strategies happen. Social media is a key component to all of that. My podcast, I don't think I would have as many listeners without social media. My email, I definitely would not have as many emails without social media, right? So it all works together. And I want to talk more about how it all works together instead of focusing so much on just the social media side of things.
I love that. So what's your relationship right now with social media? Are you still in love with it? Is it a necessary evil, or are we somewhere in the middle of this, you know, spectrum of feelings?
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it personally. There are moments in time where I feel less in love with it. And mm-hmm. You're right. I do like to call it a situationship. That has been a thing in my framework since like 2017, probably. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's very much a situationship for a lot of people. I personally love it because I actually don't spend a ton of time on it. I see what I need to see and then I peace out and live my life.
You get in and get out.
Yeah, like, I get in and get out. Exactly.
And I feel like you have a really good system for like, I'm going to log into this. I'm going to give myself 20 minutes. I'm going to respond to this many comments. I'm going to engage with people the way I know that I need to, but I'm not just going to linger and doom scroll.
Yes, yes. And I find that if I do want to scroll, I have very specific outlets for that. Mm. So right now that's Threads. I'm loving the experience on Threads, and I spend more time there than I do scrolling on Instagram or LinkedIn or TikTok. And that kind of cycles through my phases, and I consider that like personal time because I'm there, I'm enjoying the atmosphere, the vibes. But I still love social media, and I think it's like the saying goes, too much of a good thing can be bad. Mm-hmm. I do find myself sometimes slipping into that. I found that with TikTok last year, where it started to feel a lot like an obligation, and I wasn't having as much fun there as I had the two years prior. So I just pulled back on my time there. I think I check in once or twice a week to answer comments. And then everything else is like pre-recorded, pre-scheduled content that goes out. So that's my TikTok strategy right now. I think that that helps me still like the elements of social media, which I like, which is far more to me about community and like conversation than creating content for the sake of creating content.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like you sort of guided me into my next question, which is when you're saying, well, right now I'm into Threads, but a year ago it was TikTok. And before that it was Instagram. You know, I don't necessarily, this isn't a question about like, what is the trend of how things are changing in social media? Because I know you have future podcast episodes planned on that topic. But, you know, you've been doing this for a decade. And I would say of any industry that somebody can be an expert in for a decade, this is one of the top three that has changed the most in that time period. So, you know, like you and I have talked several times because I'm also in the content marketing, SEO, generative AI bubble, where it's like, what have you seen change? What are the biggest changes that you've seen and how have you had to react to that?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like change, don't get into social media.
Or marketing.
Don't get into marketing.
Digital marketing. Nope.
Yeah. Because both of us, like you in the SEO space, me in the social space, like the past 2 years, 3 years have been bonkers, bananas with the amount of changes. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest change over the past decade, and I'm going to keep saying decade, y'all, for a long time because it feels good. Decade is the amount of content that's being published. And a lot of people try to blame the algorithm. They try to blame what's trending. They try to blame people's interests. But 10 years ago, we were not consuming content like we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, Risa Tisa puts out a 52-part TikTok series that's 10 minutes each. And they get millions and millions of views on each video. Like, that is unheard of for a social platform. Right. And so we're consuming content at a rate we've never consumed it before. People are producing content online at a rate it's never been produced before. We didn't even have Netflix to the extent that we did 10 years ago to today.
It was
right?
still coming in an envelope. We had to wait for the yes. DVD to, maybe that wasn't 10 years ago. Maybe that was 15 years ago, you know, but
still. It was about 10 years mm-hmm. ago where they switched over. I was just talking about this with someone the other day. Because like back in my day, we had to order the Netflix DVD. They mailed it to you in an envelope. Then you watched it. And then you had to mail it back.
You had your queue going. So like, you had to like move things up and down yes, based on availability.
Set priority. Yeah. Yep.
We had, I remember like the post office near my workplace had a faster turnaround time for Netflix because they would scan it in. So all my coworkers and I would drop off our work. Like we wouldn't put it in our mailbox. We'd put it in the work mailbox. It was a big deal how much we had to plan our Netflix queues. And now we can just go. Like now my kids are like, why is this commercial playing? How come we were watching football yes. and now we're watching trucks? What happened? Like they don't understand any of it.
They don't get it. And so it's like, I mean, so much has changed. I think that's the biggest challenge mm-hmm. for me, for business owners, is like it has changed so much. And there's just so much content and there's so much competition mm-hmm. now. You know, before this business, I worked for Marriott and I was on the social media team there. And we were concerned about what to post our one weekly post on both Facebook and Twitter. And that was it. That was our goal, is to put out one post with just a photo of like the restaurant or the spa or whatever the case may be. Marriott now has a very different social media strategy. And I guarantee you their social media team looks different as well. And so just those things alone, like all of those changes have been like good in a way that there's a lot of importance and value in social media, and also challenging in that it's very hard to stand out. It's very hard to make a splash, to make a difference, to go viral. And so, those have been like the biggest changes to me.
And then for you personally, you know, being in the social media space is one thing. If you were an influencer, you'd have to stay on top of it. But I wouldn't call you an influencer. I would call you a subject matter expert. I would call you an agency owner. I would call you a mentor and a trainer. Like, how, over the course of the past decade, how have your services and offerings changed, both in reaction to how the industry is evolving, but also how you've needed to change in order to, you know, have your lifestyle continue to not be dramatically different?
Yeah. You know, I started off freelancing.
Like so many of us, right?
Yeah, freelancing. Mm-hmm. I was on Fiverr, y'all. $5 gigs. I would write 10 Facebook posts for $5. It was great. But I made my first $60,000 on Fiverr. I had to think about if that was the right number.
That's a lot. Wait, yes. So if you were charging $5 for 10 posts, that's...
Yes, but I did have upsells.
Okay.
Okay, so like in Fiverr, they can toggle, like, do I want extras? And so the biggest bang for buck for me was when people would book like whole month calendars, or they wanted extra graphics.
Because I was doing the math and I was like, that is 120,000 Facebook posts in a year.
Yeah, in a year. I was churning them out. I even remember one point my husband was helping me. I was like, can you help me write some captions?
I mean, that would be like 2,000 a week. But you're obviously, you have the upsells, you have the graphics, you have other things like that. But like, yep. When you think
it was templated.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I quickly switched. So it was 10 Facebook posts for $5. And then it was Facebook post for $5.
Ooh,
then
doubling
it was,
your
at the
rates.
End, one, yeah, one Facebook post for $5 in the end, once I had like a bunch of testimonials and things come in. So I did adjust my prices. But that's where I started, was freelancing. I didn't call myself an agency for a very long time. I called myself a freelancer who just happened to have a team for 6-7 years. It wasn't until recently that I started calling myself an agency. And the reason I started hiring people was I tried to go on vacation and I was so stressed out the whole time because social media doesn't sleep. Mm-hmm. I was like, I hope Hootsuite published this post. So then I would like go check to make sure it was published. And so I started hiring team support, grew it to an agency. And then in 2016, I launched my first course about Canva. Back then, Canva was not cool. People definitely frowned at Canva. That's how I was able to get those Fiverr gigs going. Like, I was using Canva and templates that I made to churn out these graphics for people. So I made my first Canva course, which then by 2018 turned into my membership program at the Savvy Social School. And then in 2020, I added on the mentorship program to teach this kind of like hybrid agency educator model. So that's how things have changed over the years for me. And it really has been about, one, what I want to create and what I want to teach, but also where I see a need for people to learn how to do this as well in a way that is sustainable and works for them.
And then how does we've already talked a little bit about how the podcast is a huge part of your marketing arm and how people are finding about, you know, maybe they find the podcast through social media or they keep up with the podcast on social media, but the podcast kind of lives as its own entity under your brand. So like, when did you first launch the podcast? If it's 300 episodes, we know it's been a while.
Yeah, it launched in 2018. I've only ever missed a few weeks, probably like 2 or 3 weeks max, but weekly show launched in 2018. I launched it because at the time I had a bunch of clients who had podcasts and it was a really big thing to start a podcast then. Mm-hmm. Again, not a lot of people had podcasts. And so since my clients had podcasts, I wanted to also join the podcasting space. I come from a YouTube background. Like I had a YouTube channel since 2007. So I have been in the YouTube world for a while. Yeah. Podcasting to me seemed much easier than YouTube
There's
videos.
There's no video editing. It's just audio. Like, I don't have to put on makeup to do my podcast. What? This is awesome.
Yeah. And you can press play and navigate to another app. Wow. Imagine that. Innovative. So I joined Podcast Movement's 28 Day Challenge, launched the show, Savvy Social Podcast. And to me, it was another vehicle to talk about social media concepts. I was already posting videos on YouTube, but again, I found the podcast a lot easier because I could squeeze it in between client work, number one, didn't have to worry about framing and videos and all that. And two, I love the intimacy of it. As someone who like consuming podcasts, you could just like pop in your earbuds and like go about your day. So that's why I launched the podcast.
And why at that point were you already had the school at that point? How did Savvy Social become the podcast name?
Yeah. I launched the school and the podcast at the same time, which I don't recommend. It was a lot of stress, but I didn't have kids then. So, you know, it was like I was working morning, noon, and night. But I launched them at the same time. So prior to that, I did have a free Facebook group that was called the Savvy Social Crew.
Remember when there were free Facebook groups as the marketing strategy?
That was my funnel. It was join my Facebook group. I would do lives in the Facebook group and like help people there. But it was the group was becoming too big for me to manage. And at the time, I think there was like less than 200 people. So it wasn't like a massive group, but it's too big for me to manage just for free. Mm-hmm. So I wanted a paid option for people. I kept that Canva course. I had edited so much that I was like, this needs to be a membership now because Canva is changing very quickly. And I sold it for one price and would just like keep updating it. And that model wasn't working for me at the time. So I launched the school and the podcast at the same time. And the name came from that Facebook group, the Savvy Social Crew, turned into the Savvy Social Podcast for the free stuff. And then the Savvy Social School for more paid support.
Got it. And the Savvy Social Podcast has been happening for 300 episodes. And I thought it was going to stay Savvy Social for a long time. When you and I met up in person back in November, this rebrand was not in the works. So like, no. Was it just like we pulled the tarot card and you're like, oh, I'm the Four of Pentacles, so I have to change the name?
So the retreat in November changed a lot of things for me. So 2023, my word of the year was community. And I was really focused on like the people in front of me. Because before that, a lot of my marketing was like, let's get new people. And I'm an introvert. And at some point I'm like, okay, I just want the people that are here. And like, I want to spend more time with them. So the retreat was birthed. It sounds so cheesy to say, but it was like, it changed my life. It was one of those moments where I was like, oh, this is more of what I want. Because I know a lot of marketers were there. The conversations we were having were like, so much deeper than, you know, how many times a day should we post on TikTok? And they were business-focused conversations. They were life-forward conversations. I saw that word floating around on social media recently, where people were talking about like, yeah, this is my business, and I have aging parents, or I have young children, or I'm getting a full-time job now, so how do I balance all of the things? And I was like, oh, these are the conversations that I want to have. And so when we met up at the retreat, like changing thing wasn't even on my mind. I'm going to have a baby.
If all my of life this is rebranding very full. Just like a very deliberate nesting strategy, is that what this
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it was not on my mind. It was not on my mind at all. But the funny thing is I have owned these domain names since 2020. Mm-hmm. So while the changing of the name wasn't on my mind at the time, suddenly it felt urgent because I was like, these are more of the conversations that I want to have. These are the more of the topics that I want to explore. And yes, social media is still my main boo. It's still what I do on a day-to-day basis. I definitely see that changing for me in the next 5 years and into something a little bit more nuanced. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something there. I was like, oh, this is more of what I want to do. And so then it suddenly felt urgent. And I felt like I was cheating where I was like, oh, I keep thinking about this thing while doing my job. And I was like, I feel like I'm like constantly like cheating and flirting with this idea in my head while still maintaining my current idea. And so
you were having an affair with your new brand.
Yes, I was. I was like wooing it. I have my Google Keep Notes app. I've had, since the last day of the retreat, I can go back and see all of my notes where I'm like, oh, this would be a great idea. That would be a great idea. And so I just kept like spending so much time thinking about it and talking about it with people like you that I was like, we've got to start making changes now so that I don't feel like I'm cheating anymore and that I'm straddling this line. I got to like move forward. It's now or never. 10 years, 300 episodes. Let's do it.
Yeah. And I think also like I saw you post in a community that we're both in about this. And Diane in that community was like, this is not cheating. This is evolution, right? This is a transformation of identity where it can feel like, oh, but I'm the social media person versus I'm a marketing strategist who specializes in social media. And maybe this pivot isn't as much of a pivot as I think it is because my own identity has evolved over time, which is a funny thing to think about because this is why we surround ourselves by therapists.
Yeah, that's it. It's like once I landed in the spot of like, oh, this really is just me changing the name. I've been this person this whole time. Mm-hmm. Then I felt so much more comfortable with making the change because prior to that, it felt like a whole different person. And I don't know that I don't think that was really the case. It was, this is a change that's been happening for years and now just feels like the time to like reveal my new identity.
Ooh, big reveal. It's like reveal day on, or you know what? It's not, there's probably some sort of RuPaul's Drag Race thing that we should talk about here. I'm not a drag racer. Yeah. I'm a top modeler. Yeah. I'm a home renovator. So I want to be like, move that bus, but I don't know the right drag race terms.
You know, it very much fits the home reno side of things. Move that bus for sure. So we're moving the bus. Here we go.
And I think also there might be something in here because you and I are both romance readers. Where it's like, maybe this is not an affair. Maybe this isn't cheating. Maybe this is just making your relationship open. Maybe this is polyamory of your business, right? Where it's not, it's not I'm cheating on social media. It's I love social media and I love email marketing and I love content marketing and I love relationships and I don't have to choose. You're a reverse harem of a business.
Honestly, yes. I've been playing around with this idea and I don't want to scare people off with the idea of polyamory, but, and it kind of feels like that. It's like social media is the one partner that I spend a lot of time with and it's the one people see me a lot with, but I have other partners. I happen to have an email partner and a podcast partner and a YouTube partner. And I do a ton with community as well. So yeah, I'm in an open relationship with social media and it has really clarified things for me to like put the label on it. That is so true.
I think this is the ad break.
Yeah, ad break. It's our birthday. And I'm hosting a birthday party. So Online Drea is celebrating 10 years of business. I cannot believe I started this business in March 2014. And here we are 10 years later with this birthday celebration. I am doing a 10-day super sale. And I'm not talking about like a little 10% off here, a little 20% off there. No, ma'am. We are doing 50% off. Select of offers throughout this 10-day birthday sale. But the catch, the kicker, is you have to be signed up to our email list to get the offers that are coming out every day. So you can sign up by going to onlinedrea.com/birthday. So onlinedrea.com/birthday. Sign up, put your little email address in there, and then every day of the sale, I'm going to email you what's on sale for that day. And you only have 24 hours to grab that offer, and away you go. Away you go. So if you're ready to celebrate our birthday with us, come to our fab fiesta, and let's have fun. Let's have a party. I'll see you there. Okay, so we're back from the break, but before we get into everything, I got to tell y'all why I chose Meg for this episode as the host. Yes, she raised her hand and said, yes, I want to do it. But the reason why it feels like so right is I met Meg on Instagram, y'all. Mm-hmm. And it's like part of my story to meet some of the most important people in my life on Instagram. And so we met on Instagram. We had a little business bestie chat where we still are in. We exchange ideas all the time. We meet once a quarter now. Were you meeting monthly at one point?
We were meeting monthly at one point. And I want to state before we say that we met on Instagram, we did outreach on Instagram. But the way that I first heard about you was not on Instagram. It was my friend Sarah used to run a website called One Woman Shop. And they did the 100 best websites for solopreneurs. And you and I were both on that list. And our joint friend who knew both of us, Lainey Lamar, was also on that list. And Lainey and I were like, we want this sort of tight mastermind feeling of people who have aligned values. And so we went through that list and chose who to reach out to. And you were the first person Lainey reached out to. And I think she said to you in Instagram DMs, like, we're thinking of doing this. And you said, great, how much? We were like, no. You know, and I think sometimes that's what we're talking about with social media and community is it can be a really great place to develop these relationships, to get to know other people, but you can also find out about them through other channels, and social media can be an easier place to connect and grow and nurture those relationships, whether you discover a person on that platform or not. Whether you can remain on that platform. Because I don't know if you and I ever actually DM'd on Instagram. I think Lainey DM'd you, and then you and I met on Zoom, and then we just moved to Voxer, and that's where we've been for the better part of a decade. You know, so the relationships can start there, they can grow there, and they can move off of there. All three of those things can be true.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you clarified that, because Instagram was just like a catalyst for conversations in other places. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you're right. This is why I love social media, is because it made it easier for us Lainey and I to start that conversation. But the conversation actually started elsewhere, which I didn't know that the list is where it started.
I think it was the list.
I remember Lainey just reaching out and me being like, okay, yeah, I mean, this sounds great, but if she says it's going to be 10 grand, no, you know? So I was like kind of bracing myself for the price. And she was like, no, we just want to like meet and hang out. And we really didn't know each other that well at the time. I knew of you, but I don't think we ever had talked before the first Zoom call. And so to me, that's like the power of social media, but it's one of the reasons why I wanted... Like, I was so excited for you to be the host of this. Is like, I guess we started in what, 2017?
Yeah, it was probably 8-ish years ago. We started having what were monthly check-ins where we were all freelancers building our first courses. And now we've been doing it for a decade. And the people who are meeting with us, you know, we're still with Lainey every quarter, and she shut down her business and we still hang out, you know, because now it's gone from like, we are business colleagues to we are collaborators, and then we are like friends in real life and would hang out with each other even if we shut down our businesses, even if, you know, we just are actual friends.
Yeah.
Because we have to do that, like, because we don't have coworkers to hang out with anymore. You know, like, this is our workplace.
This is our workplace. This is our water cooler. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm so excited to have you have this conversation, because you've seen the evolution of my business in a way that other people just haven't been privy to. And so also, you are a brilliant marketer. Y'all go check out Meg Casebolt, loveatfirstsearch.com. We'll put the links, of course, in the show notes. But I love your approach. It's very similar to my approach to social. Your approach to search is really about helping like real humans. It's not about like the robots and the machines of it all. It's like, let's think about the human behind all of this and what their experience is like. And so that's really why I wanted to have you in this conversation as well, is because your approach and my approach are very aligned.
You were like, I know who I should have interview me on the Savvy Social podcast, a person who wrote a book about how to get off social media.
Exactly. Yes. See, and that's why I'm like, I'm celebrating that because I it's not for everybody. It's not for every business. And to make that a decision to me is so intentional. It's so mindful. You're not giving up on marketing completely, right? You have other ways that you market your business. And that's what this kind of rebrand of the podcast is all about. I want to have the conversations with people who decide to leave social media because that's also important.
Yeah, that is a choice. It is not the only choice, but it is absolutely a choice. So with that in mind, knowing that we're going into this rebrand, knowing that you're kind of rolling it out as this episode is clearing, what are you doing? Like, I know you probably have a color-coded, assigned, deadline-driven project plan. So even though you can say, sure, I had this domain sitting for the past 4 years, and yes, I had this idea on day three of a retreat in November, but like, it didn't just happen. Like, what was the rollout plan? What else are you doing to do the reveal? How's the rebranding process working for you?
Yeah. I mean, my first step was talk to Becky Mollenkamp, who's my accountability coach, because she helps me with all of the ideas that I have and I want to do everything. And she's also like, but remember, you're pregnant. Remember, you said you wanted to pull back on working all these hours and blah, blah, blah. So my first step was to go to her and be like, so I have this idea, and to have her be like, well, it's not actually changing anything you're saying. It's a rebrand. And to actually champion me to do more is very helpful. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Becky.
Becky's amazing at stuff like that, at like really honing in on what matters and making sure that it's aligned with values.
Yes. Yes. And so she's been like part of the, like my sounding board for a lot of this. The name I already had, and I really tried to come up with a different name because this Mindful Marketing, there's actually another company under the name Mindful Marketing. They work with e-commerce brands, though they recently rebranded to a different name. If you search Mindful Marketing, they come up first. There are several podcasts with Mindful Marketing in the title. Usually they have other words as well, but Mindful Marketing isn't unique. However, it's the only name that really truly to me embodied what I want to talk about now and for the future. Like, I feel like it gives me space to talk about it for the future.
And if we're talking, I need to insert this because you know me. If we're talking about what shows up in search when you look for it, yes, they have historically ranked for that term, but this is going to become your new branded search term. This is going to be something that you already have an audience that you have grown that can help you establish this brand underneath your own existing domain. You have the domain authority to capture some of that. So you and I can talk offline about a reputation management strategy, so that way you can rank first for that term and specify maybe it's, you know, mindful marketing for small businesses, mindful marketing for service businesses, mindful marketing without being dependent. You know, like there are different qualifiers that we can put on it, as well as the definition of mindful, and we can play with it a lot in a way that it's much more open to interpretation and to you being able to define what it means to you in a way that Savvy Social was kind of locked in by its very nature.
Yeah. And you know, first of all, I have you earmarked for when I'm fully back from maternity leave in August to redo our SEO strategy.
Well, you know where to find me.
That needs to be redone.
Just for the podcast, right? Because sometimes we need to think about our sub-brands as part of our overall brand too.
Yes. And two, there are so many other people with the name Savvy Social that I wasn't too concerned about it. Like if you search Savvy Social on Instagram, you'll see a bunch of people using that name, or even Social Savvy, Socially Savvy. People say Socially Savvy all the time. I actually own Socially Savvy School for that reason, because people kept calling it that. So I just grabbed the name and it forwards.
Vanity Domain 301 Redirect. Boom, boom, boom.
I know. So to me, the name, it just felt so good, and it was one that I already had, that I wanted to move forward with it instead of, I've been thinking about it for so long.
You know what's so interesting is this, like the relationship between your head and your analytical brain and then like your gut and your reaction to it is exactly what we're talking about in terms of the approach that you take. And you're taking that approach of mind and heart meeting each other. even in the choice of how to rename and reposition. To be able to say, you know, inviting Meg feels right. Or choosing this name, I went, I did the research. I looked at what my competitors were, and then I listened to my inner voice. I listened to my gut, and I moved forward with it because it felt right. There's a lot of feminine energy there that you don't hear a lot in the marketing space, which is very much like, well, somebody else already owns it, so you need to find something different, you know?
And that's part of why I hesitated, because it feels a little soft. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like even the word mindful marketing, when I asked my husband about it, he's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, oh, but you're not my ideal client. Like, you're not who I'm going after. And so that's part of why I hesitated on it so much, because it does feel like leaning into the feminine energy. It does feel a little bit more on the side of like, woo woo, even though I'm hesitant to use that word even, but that's who I am. Like, I pull tarot cards every year. I have like 15 tarot cards.
I literally just pulled this out of my deck because I was like, I wonder what's going to happen. I keep my tarot cards in my deck, and it's the Temperance card. Yes. Of course, it's the Temperance card, which was your card for last year.
It's my card for last year. And so it's, for me, it's like, okay, I'm already living this life. Is this my coming out story? I don't know. It felt right.
It felt right. So in addition to rebranding the podcast, in addition, you've done a lot of web design work on your website to feel a bit more, I don't want to say like laid back, because I never felt like you were too in your face with the old brand, but it does feel a bit calmer in terms of, you know, the tones that you're choosing, the language that you're choosing. You're doing some definite messaging work in the rebrand. What else is happening as part of this overall rebrand into marketing versus strictly social?
Yeah. This is where I think the retreat comes into play. Mm-hmm. I'm leaning more into the community elements and intimate communities. So for instance, this year we moved to a closed model for the Savvy Social School. So if you're listening to this right now, it may be open, it may be closed. Like, it's probably closed. We're going to open it a few times a year, perhaps, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. I haven't decided yet. So that's part of this, is like deciding what to do with things like my membership. My members who are in there, loving on them in an intimate way, which feels very good for me.
The mentorship too, you know, you've really started to grow that out, but I think at a lower price point than it used to be, because you want it to be intimate but affordable. Like, there's some interesting choices happening there too. Tell me about that.
Yeah. The mentorship, I raised the price. Because value, people are like, you add so much value. But the feedback I got from my members is, the number of calls we were having was too much. Mm-hmm. They were like, this is too much. I actually prefer to have a different structure. So we changed the structure, lowered the price back to what it was before. We actually had no members coming at the new price. Now, I wasn't promoting it heavily, but it's $297 now. And it's a combination of like one-on-one. So you get one-on-one time with me, and there's some group components. I will probably cap it about 25 members, and just like love on those people. Mm-hmm. Same thing for the retreats, upcoming events. Like, for me, this is all about, I am past the point of the big numbers. I feel like I've hit a lot of milestones in my business. I feel very proud and happy of them. And 2023 was a hard year financially, and it forced me to look at these things. And I know there's like this trend right now of descaling. Y'all, I was forced to do this. I had to let go of people in my agency because clients left and we didn't have a replacement, right? I'm not saying that to romanticize it. It's just the fact.
Those are the facts. People are like, I'm not downsizing, I'm descaling. And I'm like, no, descaling is something you do with vinegar and your Keurig. It's not something you do in your business.
Yeah, no, we had to be intentional about going smaller. And then in that process, I realized, oh, I like the coziness of it. This is where my introverted side comes out. So plans for the future, I don't know yet, but I do know I will be doing more mindful marketing things. I now consider myself a marketing strategist with a focus on social media, and that focus may change. I don't know yet. I still love social media, and when we have a new client come in, we also manage their podcast. We also edit YouTube videos for them. We also write emails for them. Some clients, we even write and design lead magnets and build funnels for them. So we do other marketing things. We're just very like social media community forward. So I will continue with that concept. But knowing that as social media changes, as community changes, I'm flexible enough that I want to be able to change with it.
So where do you see that 10 years from now? Oh, God, your kid's going to be 10. My kid's going to be 19. He's going to, God.
Yeah. 10 years. Whew.
I know it's hard to vision. So like, it doesn't have to be the details, but like, what's the vision for where you're going?
Yeah. I do have a vision for 10 years, which is the first for me. Like, I'm usually like, I can do a year, 1 year. I can't
1 year
do 10.
Plan, 10 year vision. I feel like there's a differential here of what to expect, but I feel you. And I'm not great at future casting. Yeah.
I've never been able to do like a 10 year vision. It's always been like what I'm doing now. Like,
but also like think about 10 years ago when you did have that like one Facebook post a week. How could you possibly have predicted what's happening now? Okay, so change of question. Yeah. 3 year vision.
But I do have I do actually have a vision. I don't know what it's going to be because I have young children. It's so different now. My life is so different now. I don't want to make big changes, and that's why I'm just starting slow with the podcast. And then I do see myself moving more into community work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I've been talking a lot about this concept of dark social where the power is in like our like Lainey and I DM conversation versus like creating content. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's community. It's like one-on-one conversations, it's smaller groups. So I don't know what that means yet, but I do see myself moving more towards being a facilitator of conversations, a community builder, less about content creation and more about conversation. What that looks like, it could be anything. I loved the event. If I could do like 3 or 4 events a year and that was it, that would make me happy. I love facilitating conversations, like a roundtable panel. If I could do panels all day, that would make me happy. You know, like, so there are certain things where I'm like, this part piece of it makes me happy. The piece right now that I know that probably 10 years from now, I probably would have an exit in my agency, either selling my clients or something like that. And then in my programs, I feel like they'd move away from tactical and move towards conversation. So it wouldn't be so much like, here's how to upload an Instagram story, but more of like, do we even need Instagram stories in the first place? Like, it's like so cerebral, but I definitely see myself moving away from like the tactical things into more of like facilitated conversation.
I think that's perfect for you. Without forcing you into becoming an event planner, because that is a lot of work also in a completely different way. And how are you celebrating being in business for 10 years?
Yeah. So we're doing a big 10-year fiesta. So that'll probably be the ad in this episode. We're pre-recording it. So they'll probably be the ad in this episode, and check my socials and my email. So I'm talking about it. I'm also having a baby. So that feels really good.
It's just true.
Take some time.
That is like, not, that was on the schedule before the rest of this.
Yeah. It's like the fact that I can step back is a huge celebration for me. And it feels much better the second time around. The first time around, I was way more stressed about it. The second time around, I'm like, this is going to be great. My team has got this. This is awesome. And so that's basically it. To me, I don't really have any big things planned because honestly, having the baby is the big thing right now. Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have a countdown to 23 days from the time that we're recording this until when the baby arrives.
There is a countdown. I'm ready. I'm ready for her to be on the other side so I can actually like get restful sleep.
Yeah. You can outsource the feeding.
There you go. I can take a night off. I can't take any nights off right now. She's attached to me.
Mm-hmm. It's true. That placenta, that darn umbilical cord. You can't take a break from that. Any final thoughts about the podcast, about the agency, about, you know, where things are going for you?
Yeah, I think that part of this whole thing is scary for me. I was just talking with one of my mentees about how I probably will lose some accolades along the way. Like, I don't know if I'll still be in the top 100 marketing podcasts mm-hmm. with this change. I don't know if I will win the awards for the show because it is a little less aggressive. It's a little more soft. I'm okay with all of that now. I wasn't at first. It took a lot of work for me to get here. I've been thinking about this for years, really. But the past 6 months, I've done the most reflection on this. And I'm at the point now where intimacy is more important than being, quote unquote, popular. Like, that's never been my goal in the first place. So to have those like check boxes, I did it. It felt good, sure, at the time. Now it just doesn't seem as important. So I will probably lose some of my ranking. I will lose the opportunity for awards. I may lose some of my audience. I don't care. I'm ready.
Yeah, those weren't your people. And I think one of the things that has been standing out to me in this conversation is like knowing who you are and grounding yourself in how you want to live your life, how you want it to feel, how you want to lead your team, how you want to engage in relationships with others, whether those are your clients, your team members, your audience, your peers, your collaborators, right? Like, you are so grounded in this is how I want this to feel. And if social media is part of that, if email marketing is part of that, great. But I don't need to be the go-to person for this entire industry. I don't need to be the thought leader who is at the forefront of every single trend and showing up and having millions of followers. Like, your satisfaction and your measures of success are not numbers driven. They are value driven. They are intuition based, and they are lifestyle reflective, where it's like, I don't want to work all the time, and I can support my family and, you know, be there training my people in the way that my approach is, so that way they're not burning out. I'm supporting their mental health, I'm supporting their outcomes and goals without it taking over everything. And I think that especially in marketing in general, but social media in particular, can be so invasive that having somebody who is aware of all the trends and able to say, let's define your KPIs and your measures of success and work towards your goals that may or may not be the Meg gets on a pedestal about the patriarchy, may or may not be what the societal norms of what success is supposed to look like, which is infinite growth at all costs. That's not your goal anymore. So I think that that will show up moving forward in the podcast based on the work that you've been doing, not just the outward external marketing work, but the internal journaling, meditation work about your life and your goals and your business. So thank you for like leading by example for all of us who are always getting that message of more is better, more, have to grow, have to scale, you know, downsizing or descaling is failure instead of it's a conscious choice for intimacy.
Yes, you nailed it. That's it. Perfectly said. Thank you, Meg.
Thank you, Andrea. It's been my pleasure to be here with you. And congratulations on 300 freaking episodes. Well done.
Yay, we did it.